The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Hey, if you're with us in the stream, we're back here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. You can always follow us as we're going through the plays. If you're listening in the car, you can go back and look at it on our YouTube page. You can follow us live, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. It is a great way to really get into the game within the game with our trench expert, Jack Miller, between the lines. And during the break, he said, man, that Michigan State game was like a walkthrough. I said it was like a 7-on-7, and then Borges said, well, in 7-on-7, they have like a clock that says the quarterback has to get rid of the ball. There was no clock, Jack. I mean, the guy had all day in the pocket versus Michigan State.
You can't ask for anything more from an Ohio State perspective. I mean, that's literally how you draw, I think, every offensive play in the first half. That's how you draw it up, right? And, you know, they did a good job. It's not shocking. Ohio State's incredibly well coached. They always have been. And so the fact that they were ready for that game doesn't shock me. It shocked me a little bit that Michigan State showed up so flat. And I didn't think that they had, you know, really a great opportunity to win in Columbus anyway. But, boy, did they show up flat, and Ohio State looked good. Hopefully, you know, they looked a little too good, maybe get a little too comfortable and, you know, wasted some of that good stuff for this weekend, hopefully.
I don't know, Jack. I mean, they didn't have to exert much effort, man.
No,
good grief. All right, so let's get into some defense. And one of the differences is Michigan has this dude, number 97, who you got to talk about him every week. And you're seeing more and more of his versatility. And so this first one that I'm going to bring up, Jack, is one where we see, you know, they have a blitz on and Aiden drops in the coverage and makes a play. This is like a stock riser. This is like one of those plays that's like, okay, this is why they're talking about him possibly being the first overall pick in the NFL draft, because he's showing you not only can he put his hand in the dirt, Jack, he can also play standing up and make plays out in coverage.
Yeah, he can rush the passer. He can stop the run at the point of attack, and then he can do this, right? They bring a blitz from the opposite side of the field. He needs to drop in coverage like this, and he's really just sitting in the flat, just watching the quarterback, seeing where the ball goes. Now, it's a great play to run this into when you get him dropping in space, and they try to throw just a little bubble screen out to the flat where he's going to be. But again, like you were saying, Sam, you see the versatility here. He drops in coverage. He can run like a linebacker. He just runs this ball down. He plays so hard and so relentless all the time. And so when you get a guy who you know can rush the passer, he's going to get pressure on the quarterback when he wants to. He is stout at the point of attack, and he's smart, right? And then on top of that, he plays as hard as he does every snap of the whistle. It's pretty impressive to watch. It has been truly a joy to watch him play. And as a former player and as a fan, whatever, you're just proud that guy's on your side of the ball.
Right. All right. So now – Aiden in the run game, knowing your assignment, right? This is team football. What you do up front needs to be covered by what they're doing on the back end. We've talked about it before. When if Aiden wrong arms a play, he's not just freelancing, Jack. He knows what he has behind him. I can't remember what play you were talking about. It maybe it was against Wisconsin or Nebraska. He comes up and he wrong arms a split zone, but he knew he had Dax Hill filling his outside gap behind him, so he could do that, right? Well, here's another example of that very thing, and I didn't send you a play, but I'll show you an example in this game of Michigan not playing, knowing where their help is. But this is Aiden doing it and playing good team football here on this particular play. Jack, and I'll bring this up and you can talk us through it.
Yeah, like you were saying, Sam, I mean, you're not just playing backyard football. Oh, go find the ball and try to tackle it, right? Everyone's got an assignment, and you know, if this, then that, right? Mm-hmm. So on a play like this, they're all blocking away. They're trying to trap him. And that's what you do to a lot of good players to try to neutralize them, right? Is you make them the focal point of it. They have to make a decision, and then you're willing to work off of them. On this play, they try to kick him out. He wrong arms it, meaning he just sits there and kind of shoulders the guy, knowing that he's got help inside from those linebackers. But they're trying to get around here. It's not really a great it's not a great play to run this into. They do a good job. Josh Ross comes on the blitz and makes a great open field tackle there. But it really starts because Aiden eats up that block. He knows he's got Josh coming off the edge there to help him. He's got guys on the inside. And again, you're going to see a lot of that. I would expect a lot of that from Ohio State as an attempt to neutralize what he's able to do, make him make a decision and work off of that. This time, it's team defense. Josh Ross is there to make the play, and it makes a huge tackle for loss. Great play in the open field.
Yeah, so if he's gonna spill that football, if he's going to hit it like that, you got to have a guy covering you on the outside, right?
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
Go ahead, Jack.
No, he knows that that's where the blitz is coming from, right? He knows he's got edge help there. So you can't allow anything to try to get inside you in a perfect world. So when that tackle blocks down away from him, he squeezes down the line of scrimmage, takes on that guard. There's nowhere for the ball to go inside. It's forced to go out where he knows he's got help from Josh Ross coming on that blitz, who makes the play.
All right, so now this isn't him. I didn't send you this play, Jack, but it is really, and I'll go to the end zone view here. It's really clear with what we just showed you, what went wrong on this play. So you got a young fella. So this is the future. Number 17 is the future. When Aiden goes to the NFL, number 17 looks a lot like him. You know, young Mr. McGregor looks a lot like him. And so, but watch on this play where, you know, obviously on this play where you got Josh Ross going outside, that means that number 17 has B-gap responsibility. And watch what happens on this play, Jack.
So you just gets out of position, right? That's a guy, trying to play instinctive instead of knowing, you know, trying to make a play. And you like that, right? You want guys making aggressive mistakes. But at the same time, you got to know which play is yours to make. He feels that H-back coming across and thinks that the ball's trying to get outside. So what's he do? He should be in the B-gap inside that tackle. When he feels that H come across his face, he pokes his head outside and you're done. As an offensive lineman, you love when a guy commits like that because you can get leverage again. That's what this left tackle does, pins him outside and the run goes up the middle. Like you were saying, Sam, that's just a lack of experience. That's a young guy trying to make a play, trying to play aggressive, just gets a little, you know, too far out over his skis, trying to do something and be a hero. And it allows a play to go up the middle. Just got to play a little bit more discipline there. And you know, with time and experience, that's what you do.
Yeah, he will learn. I think he's going to be really, really good. I see a lot of Aiden Hutchinson in McGregor. I mean, I think he is – when you look at their background, you look at their high school careers, you know, you see a lot of similarities when you look at the fact that tight end play – you watch them on the basketball court. I just think that there's a lot of similarity there. So it'll be interesting to see the pathway for him moving forward. But then how about this? Let's bring up sometimes the guys up front clear the path for the blitz to come through. So they're one of the sacks. Neither Aiden nor David Ajabo got sacks in this game, but they helped create lanes for pressure to get through. And I thought that's what happened on Vincent Gray's sack here. So I'll bring this up now, Jack, where we got a zone blitz that where he just comes scot-free and gets to the quarterback.
Yeah, they do a good job disguising this, right? They bring boundary pressure, meaning the short side of the field. It's on the left hash. They bring pressure from the right side of the defense. And at first, it looks the center turns it to the field because he doesn't know where the numbers are. And typically, if you're confused or if you're just – going to call 50-50 ball, you want to turn to the field. So they turn away from the blitz here. That's really where they get mistaken. But again, where do you think that they wanted to turn? You got 97 at the field there. I guarantee all week Maryland practice, if it's, you know, if you don't know where to turn the protection, go towards 97, right? And so you can use him as a decoy in some of these situations. That's what they do here. And Vincent Gray comes from the boundary. They just don't have the guys to pick it up, right? They do a good job. The running back does a good job picking up the blitzing linebacker, but when Vincent Gray comes from kind of that nickel position, there's nobody there. Aiden still finds a way to get pressure. He's actually the one who forces the quarterback up in the pocket here. And again, Vincent Gray's just sitting there waiting to make a play. It's a good job. That's team defense. You know, Vincent Gray's going to get counted for that sack, but that's everybody up front doing their job, being in the right position.
But you just nailed it, though. As you always do. I mean, they turn the protection to Aiden. That right there, that's the start of that play being a successful pressure and sack for Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. As a former center, if it's a 50-50 and you don't know which way you want to turn the protection, when you're playing a defensive end like that, you want extra help going his way. And I'm sure that that's exactly what that was. The center didn't recognize that the blitz was coming from the other side of the field, and that allowed Vincent Gray to come free.
All right, and so one more, and just to show you the good and the bad, right? And they didn't have much success, but this was one of their successful plays, and this is just, one of your best players. They're going to have to play their best against Ohio State, and this was one where, this wasn't a great execution of an assignment there by Jalgood. Yeah. So got to be more sound. Come Saturday.
Yeah, you're down on the 3-yard line here. It's goal line. They're out leveraged. It's not a great defense. Well, I should say it's a good call from the offense that they want to run into this. It's just a counter pulling around, and it's a QB draw. And so anytime the quarterback's running the ball, that basically means that you have an extra guy blocking for you. So not only are we out leveraged to start this play, and you can see the safety kind of drop into the middle of the field. He's concerned with all those receivers on the other side of the formation there. There's just nobody there. They do a good job. They get up to the second level. The H pulls around, puts a block on Josh Ross. You'd like to see him be more stout, get off that, and try to make a play. But you're out leveraged there. They're on the 3-yard line. It's a quarterback draw. So, again, you got another blocker. This is a play, Sam, I can tell you that Ohio State is watching this week and will be something that they will want to do down by the goal line here, right? They probably can read a tendency from Michigan's defense that they can line up like this if they bring out certain formations, and then you can run, QB draw counter away from that with a guy athletic like Stroud, only needs 3 yards. This is something Ohio State will key in on.
Well, and yeah, so we saw Aiden spill the football on a couple of plays ago. They're going to challenge. Look, they know you run at Aiden Hutchinson. Good luck. Right. Good luck. It's probably that's not a winning proposition for you. They're going to try to run at David Jabo. You mark my words.
Yeah.
You mark my words, they're going to try to. So the onus will be on him to show the physicality on a play like this. I mean, maybe it still scores. Maybe it still scores, Jack, but on this play, you can't run around the block.
Yeah, Ojabo, that's kind of how he plays, right? Mm-hmm. It's just loose and just go make plays. I think Mike McDonald tries to put him in situations like that as much as possible, where it's just go be instinctive and play. In something like this, he doesn't really do anything. All he does is just kind of run himself out of the play, getting upfield here. He feels the quarterback drop, and then he's too late on the draw. Quarterback puts his foot in the ground, gets upfield. The guard doesn't even have to kick him out because he runs himself out of the play and creates a huge void for the quarterback just to run up and get a quick touchdown.
All right, so Jack, but like I said, way more good than bad. We just try to bring out some of the things that might also show up in the next game, but here's what I know. They haven't faced a defensive end tandem like this. They faced a good defensive end tandem at Penn State, right? And we just saw Penn State's really good defensive end tandem a couple of weeks ago. But it's not like this. And I just feel like Michigan will be able to apply more pressure. Michigan will be able to get a couple of stops in this game. Really boils down to me, can they keep that Ohio State offense off the field enough to control this game?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any I don't think anyone's confused about what it's going to take to win, which is you got to keep Ohio State's offense off the field. You got to control the line of scrimmage. You got to be the more physical team. And, you're going to have to make some plays down the stretch that end up in points. Field goals aren't going to be good enough. Even controlling the ball isn't going to be good enough because Ohio State, they're too explosive, right? They're going to find ways to put up points, which means that you got to get in the end zone. And so, you can control the line of scrimmage and own the clock and move the ball and play field position. But if you don't put up points, that's really going to be the key, obviously. I mean, it sounds silly, but that's the truth, right? Because I've seen this movie, right, where you dominate and you feel good about where you're at. And then you look up at the scoreboard and somehow you're not in control of the game the way it feels on the field or the way that you're watching it. It doesn't reflect that on the scoreboard. And then Ohio State figures something out, puts up 14 quick points, and you're looking around going, my goodness, what happened to us, right? And so that is the key. They're going to have to be more physical. They're going to have to get a couple breaks, keep them off the field. I really don't think Ohio State's been challenged all that much this year. Penn State challenged them and went toe-to-toe with them. And that's probably the best defense that they've seen this season, maybe say for Oregon in the beginning of the year when they were out of sorts. So they haven't been challenged. They haven't been in a hostile road environment, and they have not seen defensive ends like Aiden Hutchinson and Ojabo. I think the other key is, you know, a lot of times there's been halftime adjustments that Ohio State has made, and they come out and they figured Michigan out, and then they go run away with the game, right? Mm-hmm. Can this be the year that Josh Gattis has different answers, that Mike McDowell continues to confuse Ryan Day, and they don't know exactly what Michigan's answer is to everything? You're bringing exotic looks, exotic blitzes, things that confuse a freshman quarterback back there. Because in the past, you know, you kind of went toe-to-toe, and then Ohio State did what they're really good at. They made adjustments and figured it out, and then it was out of our control. Can you continue to keep them confused? Can you keep it tight and just keep wearing these guys down? And then in the fourth quarter, something happens, right? You make a big play. There's a big turnover. You know, you get a spark, and all of a sudden, you know, start putting up points real quick. I mean, I don't know. I think that's what it's going to take. Hopefully, if the game plan is there from Michigan, if they have a good game plan that Ohio State can't figure out, which is to me really been what the difference has been the last few years, I think that's what it's going to take to win.
Gotcha. Well, Jack, appreciate it, man. Appreciate the breakdown. I hope when we come back next week, you'll be breaking down a Michigan victory. Until then, have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Obviously want you to enjoy your Saturday, because if you enjoy it, that means we're going to be enjoying it too. Before right. you go, tell the folks all about the Highland Group.
Yeah, Highland Group, insurance brokerage agency, been around about 90 years, family owned. Commercial insurance, property casualty, employee benefits services, personal lines. Love to help anybody out there who's looking for different options. HYLANT.com.
All right, Jack. Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Happy Thanksgiving. Go Blue.
All right. That's Jack Miller, former Michigan center, our trench expert here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. I encourage you, if you don't see Jack's breakdown live, or you don't see Devin's breakdown live, go back and check it out on our YouTube page. Be sure to like and subscribe as well to the YouTube page. A different kind of Tuesday. So no recruiting roundup today because we had to, a jam-packed schedule. We got Kim Barnes-Rico coming up. Then we have Phil Martelli here on Tuesday because we're going to be off on Thursday. Of course, we have the MGO Blog Roundtable today because we're going to be off on Thursday. So juggling things around. So stay with us here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor Accumulus Station.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.